indeed, indeed, we have the victory. I thank God. I'm on like 125 right now. I don't know what y'all cruising at, but I'm cruising at about 125. I love that I serve a risen Savior. I love that I can come and know that I have the victory through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I value the privilege and the honor bestowed upon me to be called a child of the Most High God. There is none higher than the God, the one and only, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the God of gods. David said, from everlasting to everlasting, he's God. And I'm glad to be on the winning team. Do I got any winners in the house? If you talk to me, I'll let you out of here in about 15, 20 minutes. I'm feeling real good today. So if you just hang in there, I'll let you out in about 15 and 20 minutes. Someone's still holding their hand up. God bless you. I'm glad you're feeling good. We ought to feel good when we get to the house of God, people. If everything else during the course of your week at the house, at the job, is bombarding you and bringing you down, when you get to the house of God, when you drive up in that parking lot, matter of fact, when you bend the corner, you ought to start feeling good because you are at the house of refuge, a house of prayer, a house of blessings, God's house himself. And it's designed to encourage you and let you know that you belong to him. And as you belong to him, there's nothing in this world that can pull you away, or as my brother Guido said in his prayer, can ever snatch you out of the hand of God. And so I value the fact that we are in his house this morning. We're on a journey, are we not, church? We've been blessed by Joshua chapter 1. I just, for whatever reason, can't pull out a park, and I'm okay with that. I like when God takes you and he parks you in a certain text. He gives you some words to bless your life and encourage you. And so I want to encourage you, hang on and hang in there. We're going to get to Canaan's land one of these days. But while we're on our way to Canaan's land, I think there's some things we got to get. There's some things we got to pick up along the way. There's some things that I believe God wants to bless us with. And I want to encourage you, be open and receptive to the blessings of God. Do not hinder your blessing by thinking the way you think. Be open-minded. Allow the blessings of God to come in and bless your life. Sometimes, is what I'm saying, is we can be one-tracked on stuff. Sometimes we can have preconceived ideas, thoughts, and learnings about a text. And so we approach a text in a manner as to say, oh, I've read this before. Now, move past that. Open up. Read this stuff like you've just read it today. Like this is your first time. And just experience and watch what God does with your life. I don't know about you. Being able to say one day I'm going to claim my Canaan, I'm excited about that. Meaning that one day that I will step into a realm where I can know God intimately to a point to where when I see his hand over my life, I can shout before the blessing even comes. Yeah. Oh, I don't have no church folk in here this morning, huh? Any of y'all ever seen the hand of God and you just knew before it even happened it was going to work out? And you just saw the goodness of God creep up on, amen, whatever it was in your life that needed creeping up on, and it was revealed to you before it happened and you just kind of got excited. Kind of started shouting a little bit. Amen. It make you want to sing songs like Victory is Mine. Victory today is mine. I know it's supposed to happen tomorrow, but it's going to happen today too because I can see the hand of God. And so I want to encourage you as, again, we continue on this journey with claiming your Canaan. We started out, it is yours. That was the idea. We started out, it's yours. So do what? Claim the land and confidently trust God. Confidently trust that he's able to do the things that he said he's going to do. And then trust that he's given you such a land to inherit. Don't walk around, is what I'm saying, with your heads down. Yeah. Amen. It's time for the Hawthorne believers to lift your head up every day. Day. Don't walk around defeated. Don't walk around like you lose. No, walk around like the victors and the winners that you are. You have the right to shout and praise your God. You have the right to be able to smile every day. Amen. And twice every day and three times every day. Matter of fact, smile all day if you want to, because you've been blessed by God to do that. So claim what is rightfully yours. And then after that, handle your business. Make sure you're ready. Prepare yourself. Be ready and then be responsible what God has blessed you with. And then here we are again in Joshua chapter 1. We're down about verses 16 through 18 now, and we're stuck. We're in park. And we dealt with the topic on last Lord's Day, are you in? Who you down with? Are you down with Jesus? Are you down with the Lord? Matter of fact, even myself just tired, and it still wasn't taken care of. And I'm saying to myself, well, Stan, if you just do what you preach and surrender your life, amen, yeah, I just thought I'd throw a little realness out there. I don't always do what I tell y'all to do, I'm just saying. I mean, it's easier to say it to you. But when it bombards you, when it knocks on your door on Monday morning after you done preached it on Sunday, I mean, it's just half a day away. It wasn't even 24 hours. It straight up rolled up on me and said, hey, we here. I want to see, are you going, yeah, amen. And then about 36 hours in, I had failed the test. Amen. But 48 hours later, I was back to surrender all over again. In other words, God will allow you some leeway, but don't take that liberty or leeway to do what you want to do. No, if you go down the wrong path, trust God will bring you back, ask him for his forgiveness, and come back. But don't just go down there just because you want to. Surrender your will. Stop trying to do it on your own. But after surrender, there comes what? A life of submission. And that's what we're going to talk about today, submitting your life over to God. What does it mean to submit to him? What does it mean to be submissive to God? And then what are the benefits involved of that? I don't know about you. I've submitted my life to a whole bunch of stuff. Amen. Some had some value and some didn't. Matter of fact, some had so much value that it took me away from the very thing that I claimed that I was for God. So what are you submitting to? Where are you at in your walk with God? We can easily sit here and say we do everything right. Where are all the Christians who do everything right? Raise your hand real quickly. We want to see you so we can come and we can get counsel from you and we can definitely be blessed. No, we don't do everything right. We strive to be what God wants us to be, and that's the key. Striving to be submissive to God. You're not always going to measure up. You're human. You're frail. Matter of fact, David said God remembers that we are but dust. But that doesn't give you a license to just go do what you want to do. No, you got to keep striving. You got to keep trying to be what God wants you to be. So here's your homework for the week. I'm learning to give folk homework, some challenges, some encouragement. Because we hear the sermon on Sunday, but then when we leave out of here, it's gone. Amen. Oh, Stan, yeah, you did that today. Oh, Stan, you didn't do that today. And then when you get out there and all hell break loose, then you're wondering why you're in the boat that you're in. No, take God with you when you leave out of here. He doesn't fill me with these things. He doesn't fill us with these things so that we can be out there and we can be defeated. No, he fills us with this stuff so we can be victorious. Being submissive to God is something that I'm working on. How about you? Anybody in here who at least one day out of the week you're not submissive to God? How about 2 days out of the week? 3 days? 4 days? 7 days a week? Be submissive to God. Make sure that you are moved and positioned by him to trust him, even when stuff doesn't make sense. Watch the text. Verse number 17 is where we're going to pull it from. But look at Joshua 1, verse 16 again. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you command us, guess what? We'll do that. And wherever you send us, guess what? We're going to go. But look at our text for this morning, verse 17. Just as we fully would, obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. In our text, we see again the people of God responding to the call that was presented by Joshua. After having wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and having lost their leader, they have risen to the occasion. It appears that Israel has surrendered their will to the will of God. For they responded to Joshua saying, "What you command we will do. And where you send us, we will go." I'm convinced the people of God also promised to follow the leadership of God's man. Just as they followed Moses, they committed themselves to following Joshua. While I believe that there is a certain amount of authority invested in the pastoral office, and that the people of God ought to follow the man of God as he follows God's will for the church, there is a higher authority that every person, even in this room, must acknowledge. That is, we must submit to the leadership of God himself. Too often, though, we rebel against anything that seems like authority in our lives. None of us likes to be told what to do. But may I remind us that every single child of God in this room does not belong to themselves. When we got saved, we became the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have no rights. We have no privileges. We have no claim to anything that allows us to make decisions of ourselves. Our entire duty, if I may sum it up, could be summed up into one word: submission. If we are going to get to Canaan, we will have to submit to everything God is asking us to submit to. So the question I have you submitted to the Lord? Another question I have, are you holding back on the Lord? I submit to us this morning that Canaan is only for those who are subject to the will of God. You cannot go where God wants you to go your direction. You can't go to where God wants you to go. You can't be where God wants you to be on your own merit. There's nothing in you will allow you to do heavenly things without the Heavenly Father. You can't allow yourself to think that you got things made in the shade if you ain't got Jesus in your life. If he is not the focal point, if he is not the center, you're going to walk aimlessly just like the children of Israel did for 40 years around the same place, expecting different results and looking crazy. Amen, somebody. Case in point, look at your life. Something in your life you've tried to do, and you've been trying to do it by yourself. How's that working out for you? And the more you try to do it, the worse it gets. The more you try to invest your knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, the farther away from gaining access to that goal you find yourself. See, it's within God that you have to submit. Watch the words of the children of Israel to Joshua. First off the bat, in surrender, they say, we'll do what you ask us to do, and we'll go where you want us to go. And if that's not enough, we'll obey you like we obeyed Moses. Only though let God be the one to give you the direction that we need to go. Is that in your text? I want you to see this because I know what we want to do. I know what we're trying to do. But you can't do anything outside the confines of what God wants you to do. If God don't want you to do it, it ain't gonna get done. I know what the devil wants you to think, but it's not gonna happen. But I guarantee you one thing, if you submit to the devil, he'll make things look good for you. He'll make it appear like you're getting the results that you're looking for. But it's only God himself who can give you what he's promised to give you. Y'all got a few minutes? I got two scriptures. I'm gonna throw them out and we up out of here. I need you to read for me, Brother Don, if you don't mind. First one I need is Mark chapter 8, round about verse number 34. And then I need you to get for me James chapter 4, verse number 7, and we're going to read that one from the Message. But the Greek word here for submission is hupotasso, which means to arrange under, to be subject to, if you would, obey, to submit one's control, to yield to one's admonition and advice. What's interesting to me is we would dare surrender and submit to God's advice on one situation. But as soon as we get some good advice from God, we think that advice for that one situation will merit the same results to another situation. I wish I had a church. I'd preach right along in there. God is not a God who you get one word from and then you got it good. He ain't like that. No, God has to be a God whom you need every day. He's got to be the one whom you're always needing counsel and advice from. I don't know about y'all. There's certain folk I listen to, and there's certain folk I don't listen to. Say amen, somebody. Some folk were on the verge of being able to, if you would, do what they want to do for themselves. And so they'll use you as a means to get what they want for them. No, you don't need nobody like that, because they're going to give you some advice that may help you and some advice that may not help you. Chances are the advice is not going to help you, and it's going to put you in a worse condition than they are. Y'all need an example, okay? It's just like if I'm trying to be happy and get over my negativity and the foolishness that I'm in, I don't need to be hollering at somebody who's negative. You know why? Because they're going to give me some advice that moves me past my happiness back into the slums of negativity. Oh, I wish I had somebody who knew what I'm talking about. How many of y'all know some folk who just as miserable as can be? And they have submitted themselves over to misery to a point to where everything that come out their mouth is negative. They'll make a good day look bad. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. The sun is shining. It's about 75 degrees. I got a cool glass of lemonade. I mean, I ain't got to work today. I'm about to throw some steaks on the barbecue. And you gonna come through and tell me what's good about it. Can I help somebody? See, the sooner you submit over to God, it'll change for you. But you got to be careful, because you have a tendency to want to hit, as Dennis would tell us, the default button. You go back to the stuff that you were in. You done forgotten what it's like, and you kind of took a little pleasure in it, so I'll turn this way. It's getting a little rough. I see your looks. And you have a tendency to fall into a position where you're just in a slump. You're trying to get out of that rut that you're in. Well, I'm here to tell you, submit to God. See, it's easy for us to say, have a good day to a person. But it's another thing for you to follow your own advice and for you to have a good day, especially when stuff starts happening to you. Y'all ever had something that hit you in the gut? And you're wondering, Lord Jesus, I don't know how this is going to work out. Well, I know how it's going to work. If you don't submit to God, it's all bad. Your gut going to always hurt. Matter of fact, there's going to be another blow to your gut shortly. The more you invest in that gut blow, amen, the miserable you're going to be. But if you say, well, I fell down, but I'm going to get back up. I got hit, but I'm going to be okay. God's got me, and you submit over to God, that gut blow, you start feeling better. Now, all of a sudden, instead of hating on somebody, you throw some joy on somebody. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all hating out there. I know it. I know it. Why don't you try loving? Why don't you try giving some peace to people? Here's your challenge for the week. Encourage you. Go out and bless somebody's life by encouraging them. Just give them something good within their day. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a word to tell them Jesus loves them and so do you. I don't know. Maybe it is, you know, you take them to Starbucks and buy them a coffee. It's free. Amen. They didn't have to pay for it, especially at Starbucks. That stuff be costing too much. But anyway, you know, that'll bless somebody's life. You get them a good old whatever you're going to get them with some few espressos off in, they're going to be happy. I know Kim will say amen when you can't get them. But my point is bless them. If you're submitting to God, then your position should be to give somebody else something good as well. But here's the problem. Sometimes we'll claim openly with our mouth that we're doing good and we're submitting to God, but our actions tell otherwise. Watch Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Are you there, my brother? What does the Bible say? Read. Yeah, verse 34. I quote it, but I want you to read it. I don't want them to, you know, take my word for it. I think they may need to hear this.
Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it."
Now go back to verse 34 again. What did Jesus say? I don't think I heard him right. See, I think I heard him, but I don't think I heard him.
Whoever wants to be my disciple.
If you want to be with me, Jesus says.
Must deny themselves.
You must what?
Deny themselves.
Here's a problem we have already. If you are going to have a life of surrender, what do you got to do? Deny yourself. Is it hard to deny yourself?
Yes.
How many of y'all deny yourself of, I don't know, sweets? I see about one or two hands. God bless you. Here recently, I've been changing my diet. I've been getting better. Things are going good. And all of a sudden, temptation rolled up at a funeral service yesterday when I went to the repast. I've been trying to stay away from them Pepsis. I've really been trying to stay away from them Pepsis. And they had the nerve to sit me down at the table with some Pepsis on it. Now, I had a choice yesterday. I could submit to the drug called Pepsi, or I could submit to God and say, no, I'm standing firm. What did Stan choose? The world may never know. But hear me. Submission, what you yield yourself over to, where you hang out is going to dictate what you do. Sometimes you got to deny yourself of stuff because you see the bigger picture. You see what's ahead, not what's in the moment. Are you still with me? Mm-hmm. See, this text is speaking of giving oneself up, literally surrendering your will to the will of God. Now, I will tell you this. By myself yesterday, if it was just me, it wouldn't have went well. But because God was with me,
yes,
I was able to deny myself of that drug called Pepsi. Case in point, conclusion, I didn't drink. I looked. And I looked. I picked it up. And I looked. But I didn't drink. Whew. Lord Jesus, that felt good. Because I know had I drunk, I'd have been in trouble today. I'd have rolled up in here, good morning, saints. Because I know what sugar does. I know what that stuff does to me. It takes me way up, then I crash. Someone said, well, what that got to do with it? Get my point. Jesus is saying, deny yourself. We usually speak from this text in terms of denying oneself instead of self-denial. There's a difference. To deny oneself means you say, I can have this, but I can't have that. I can go here, but I can't go there. Self-denial says, I don't have an option. I got to do it God's way. I can't do this by myself. In and of myself, I am nothing. Y'all need some help with this, huh? One theologian encourages us to see some things about this text. He says, it's like this. If you position yourself to try to do it on your own, you're going to fall. But if you do it with God, everything's going to work out. But the problem is you think you can do it, so you walk like you can. And then when you fall, you don't understand why you're in the boat that you're in. Y'all don't do stuff like that, huh? I know. Every decision you make is right, and everything you do, and you think you got it figured out, and it always works out. Again, the answer is no. But watch Jesus. He said, you got to get rid of you. Here's why. If you're in there, I can't work. If you don't give up you and submit to me, you're going to submit to yourself. Yesterday was a challenge for Stan, because Stan loves Pepsi. But Lord Jesus, thank you. I've been clean for 3 months. Hallelujah. So you don't y'all bring me no Pepsi talking about, hey, every now and then you slip. No, I don't need none of that. But I could have submitted to my will, is what I'm saying. But I chose to submit to a different will. You know what I said? I got to be healthier these days. I need my energy these days. I need to be around for my wife. I need to. Someone said, well, we can't drink Pepsi. It's wrong. It's a sin. That's not what I'm saying. I've chosen to healthyize my body. Someone said, is that a word? Yes, my word. I've chosen to position myself as to get rid of some of the stuff that's been making Stan sluggish. Isn't that what our Christian walk? Is it not the same thing? Yeah. Is there not some things we need to cut out? Yeah. Is there not some things that we need to move around? Yeah. See, what's interesting to me, this position of self-denial says that you're at your lowest point. You have fallen on your face and you said, Lord, I can't do none of this. Look at Jesus. He was the same way. Jesus did all that he did for mankind. Loved them, blessed them, took care of them. And what's interesting enough is they spit on him. They beat him. They mocked him. Amen. Led him down the Via Della Rosa to carry his own cross, the way of suffering all the way to Golgotha. Then turned around and crucified him. But watch Jesus. Him and of his own will, he could have done it. He's the Lord. Watch him show humanity as he was carrying his cross. The Bible said he did what? He fell flat on his face. Watch what happened. They called for one out of the crowd to come on and help him bear that cross. And did he bear it? Yes, he did. He helped him all the way to Calvary's cross. What I'm saying is along the way, in submission, you have to realize you can't do it by yourself. You got to know that you need Jesus. You need the Savior to help you pick up the stuff that's challenging you. Bear the stuff that you're up under. One scholar would suggest this. The love of God is what brings me to my knees. But it's the cross I bear that brings me to my face. Yeah. I realize and recognize in and of myself I can't do it. But because I got Jesus, because I submit to his will and not my will, I'm able to overcome. Is this making any sense to anybody? Go to James chapter 4, round about verse number 7. I told you I'd let you go, and I'm going to let you go in just a minute. But watch these words from James. I like James because he positions us to realize the importance of giving God your life. See, submission is something we don't want to do. Nobody in here like to be told what to do. Raise your hand in here if you're an adult. Raise your hand in here if you're an adult. Yeah, I'm an adult. I know I am. I'm grown. Raise your hand in here if you're grown. In whose eyes? Last time I checked, we're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You see the problem we have? When you start thinking you grown, that's when you start messing it all up. See, you may be grown in the eyes of the physical man, but in the sight of God, you are his child. He is the Father. He tells you what to do and what not to do. But here's the problem. You ain't giving that self-denial. You ain't giving yourself over. You want to claim you're submitting to him, but submission looks like this. I'm at the church when they open. Sunday morning Bible class, I'm in Bible class. Y'all quiet. Now, I'm going to pull up and stop for just a moment right along in there. See, you think you're doing us an injustice by not being here, but you're really doing yourself an injustice. You know why? You're missing the nutrients you are needing for your week. You're missing the nutrients that you're needing for your life. So when you get on that job and get to cussing like them, don't say, oops, it slipped. No, it ain't nothing but that in there. You've been submitting over to what you want to do in your will, and so you're relegating your salvation to whatever. No, you need to change some of that. Make your way to the house of God. Make your way here so you can get in there with them sister to sisters and have some real talk. You can talk about your life and what's going on. Make your way to the upper room with the men so we can talk about how prideful as men we really are. Y'all quiet out there. Make your way to KFC so you can kick the ball around and learn what it means to share. Amen, somebody. Amen. Make your way to the new believers class and get you a life coach that's going to help you through your journey, because it's sure enough hard unless you got Jesus and another brother and sister to help you along the way. What are you saying, Stan? Submission. Give up you so you can have the Lord. Here's the problem. Look at James chapter 4, verse 7. I'm about to let y'all go. Y'all still all right? Okay, y'all still talking to me, so you ain't mad at me yet. Praise God. Let's read.
So let God work his will in you.
Read.
Yell aloud no to the devil and watch him scamper.
Let God do what? Work out his will
in you.
Now look at this. The Bible in the King James says this. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Everybody in here say, resist.
Resist.
Say it again. Resist.
Resist.
One more time. Resist.
Resist.
Please resist the devil and stop assisting the devil. Amen. See, it's easy for us to sit in a position and say, get behind me, devil, but it's another thing to be rolling with it. I'll make that plain for you. See, some situations in your life merit your assistance to the devil. He wants you to assist to him. One scholar would suggest that in this text, I love it because he says, basically, the devil thinks he's got power, but he really doesn't. The devil has some power, but he doesn't have that omnipotent power. Come on, somebody. The devil thinks he knows some stuff, but he's not the omniscient knowing.
Yeah.
The devil be places, but he's not the omnipresent places. In other words, God is all powerful.
Yeah.
God is all knowing.
Yeah.
God is all seeing.
Yeah.
The devil just faking the funk.
Uh-huh.
Look at this. The devil works off of trial and error. If it works for him to get you, he's got you. But if you don't show him your poker face and you put it on and you play your cards right and submit to God, the devil don't stand a chance. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
I've learned that when the devil knows giving folks a headache on Sunday morning is going to keep them from church, they're staying home. Come on, somebody. If your children are cutting up and fussing and going on at the house, and he knows that's going to keep you from coming down here because, child, I don't know, they might cut up in the church. It's going to keep you from getting to his house. Guess what you're going to do? You're going to stay home. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
If he knows partying on Saturday night, got you hung over for Sunday morning, there's gonna be a party every week. Come on, somebody. The devil works off of trial and error. If he sees he's got you, he's got you. See, if you submit over your power to him, then he'll use it against you. He's got power, but we got more power. Come on, somebody. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse, I feel like I need to preach now. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love. You know what you're doing. God's given you the power to know what you're doing. The problem is you think the devil know, but he don't know but what you tell him. He don't know your heart. He don't know your mind. He just listens to conversations. Ask Job if you don't believe me. God said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him, one who fears God and shuns the presence of evil itself. And the devil says, well, look at him, Lord. Don't you not have him hedged about? Take the down the hedge and I'll make him curse you to your face. See, I like the Lord because the Lord's saying, I've given Job everything he needs, but he has to decide whether to submit to me or to submit to you. He makes the conscious choice on what to do. How do you know? You remember the story of Job. He got jacked for everything he had. Devil took everything, but God told him, you just can't touch his life. Why? He needs to be able to make the choice whether to surrender and submit to me or surrender and submit to you, to a point to when the woman at the house got to tripping. Amen, somebody. Amen. And if by chance you the woman, if the man at the house get to tripping, amen, you keep submitting to God. Don't worry about the rest of the stuff. If you submit to God, that's the next verse of verse number 8 of James 7. If you draw nigh to him, he'll get close to you. God will give you what you need to sustain you, but it's who you service and submit yourself over to. I like that. So you mean I always win? Absolutely. I'm closing, but I want you to think about this. When you get close to God and he gets close to you, there's some things you got to do. James says, clean your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. But then he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may what?
Lift you up.
Let me tell you something. Your decision on whom you submit to determines your altitude. If you position yourself to be with the devil, guess where you're going to be? Let me come close to home. If you surrender yourself to all this negativity in your life, guess how you're going to be? Amen. I've been telling y'all here lately, think positively. Think high-minded. Move past the stuff that the devil wants you to think about and start thinking about godly things. Paul said, Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, if there's anything virtue or praiseworthy, think on these things. The things that you heard, learned, and received of me, do that, and the peace of God will be, it'll be with you. But here's the problem, what you're submitting to. If you submit to everything else, no wonder you look the way you do. Some of y'all quiet this morning. Check your submission. Some of y'all say, well, I'm just soaking it up. Well, praise God, soak it up. When you get done soaking it up, do something with it. Yeah. See, it's easy to sit here and say, I'm submissive to God. I'm serving God. But it's another thing when the rubber meets the road, because I'm keep telling you, and I don't know if y'all want to keep on this journey. Y'all want to keep rolling this journey? Because it's going to get hard.
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right, we're going this way anyway, even if you don't want to. But let me tell you this. Let me drop this while I'm here. Expect opposition. Expect folk not to like you. Expect stuff to change in your life. You can't submit to God and stuff don't happen. I'm telling you, it'll happen for your good, but folk around you ain't gonna like it. Some folk gonna get to hating on you. That's a sermon next Lord's Day. If you're gonna live a life of surrender and submission, you gotta live a life of separation. Everybody don't want what you want. Everybody don't want to come down to Hawthorne happy.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Some of y'all here still right now and you ain't happy. I know why. Who you submitting to? That might be my sermon title next week. Who you with? Because at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you can see it. Who you with? I got to drop this in. I'm going to close. I'm finally closing. Y'all all right out there?
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at Joshua's words. Joshua, after he would tell them, you know, it's time to go in 3 days, the people would turn around and say, well, wherever you say go, we'll go. Whatever you say do, we'll do. Then they turn around and said, you know what? Only let God be with you, but we'll obey you, just like we obeyed Moses. And you remember when Moses went up on the mountain to see the burning bush? The Bible said when he came down, his countenance had changed. It looked and appeared that he had been in the presence of God. In other words, there ought to be a sense of glow about the believer.
Yeah.
To that people flock to you because they want to get close to God.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
You should be the advice giver. Because you're getting advice from. You should be the one of comfort who gives comfort, because you're getting comfort from God. You should be a person of peace because you hang out with the peacemaker. In other words, you can't step into the presence of God having submitted your life and you ain't changed. Amen. So while I'm here, leave out this week making a difference. Smile and watch how many more smiles you get back. Amen. If you don't tear your face up, people will actually smile at you this week. Amen. Don't be so grumpy this week, Stan. And I guarantee you folks will be a little bit happier with you. Amen. Sometimes a brother get grumpy. I don't know. Just be grumpy. Amen. Y'all pray for a preacher. Just be grumpy. Well, what's wrong with you, Stan? Got everything in the world. Just grumpy. I don't know. I've just been hanging out with grumpy. Okay, that's all right. Go on, what are you saying? You make the difference. Whom you submit to and surrender to is what's going to happen as a result of what's played out in your life. The things that you do are going to be based on things which you invest in. But submit to God. Resist the devil, and he'll leave you alone. Now, he'll be back. He'll leave you for a season, but the devil come back. But just keep resisting him. You don't have to tell him, get behind you, but here's what you tell him. I'm going to tell Jesus on you. Here, lately, folks been calling me with some drama, and you know what I tell him? I'm going to tell Jesus on you. They're like, huh? You heard me. I'm finna tell Jesus on you. You know why? Because I'm not trying to invest or submit to that foolishness. You know why? I know what it does to me. Makes me all angry and mad. I be all turned up. And then I be mad at Deja because of something Don told me about it. I mean, what sense does that make? I don't even have my own basis for not liking Deja. It's just because I've submitted to what Don had to say. And he don't, I know you didn't like him, but I, you know, because he don't like him. Now I don't like him. I mean, that's just foolish. You see how the devil is? And so he's crafty with what he does. So don't submit over to something that you ain't thought through. Yeah, I know y'all love each other anyway. If you're here this morning, if you're here and you are a believer, maybe your submission to God hasn't been what it should be. Let me tell you, the thing I love about God is he always submits himself over to us in love. He never stops loving us. He never stops allowing us opportunity to get things right. And I don't ever want you to think that you're in too deep. And neither does God, that he can't save you. If you need some saving, call out to him. He's always listening. The problem is you ain't dialed in on his channel. Dial in on the channel of God. Let him be the one to sort the stuff out for you. There's some things in your life going on right now that you can't fix. So here's my point. Stop trying. Some stuff you can't fix, so quit trying to fix it. Quit wearing yourself out. Quit stressing yourself out. Quit giving yourself ulcers. With giving yourself stomach aches and headaches and migraines. Stop doing that to yourself. If you can't fix it, then what would you do? Sit up worrying, trying to fix it. And then why would you position yourself to try to fix it if you know you can't fix it? Leave that to God. Submit your life to him and trust him and let him sort everything out. Maybe you're here and you're not a believer. Come by faith this morning. Repentance, accept him to be the Savior. We're baptized in water for the remission of your sins. You can leave out of here today, submissive to God. And just watch what he does to your life. I know for me, I'm revisiting that day I got baptized. And you know what it's doing to me? It's making me happy. I remember what it was like when I went down there and they told me all my sins were forgiven. All that bubblegum I stole from the store, they said that was gone. I mean, I was just a-cheesing because I done stole a mini piece of bubblegum from the store. Paintbrushes and all kind of stuff. Someone said, well, what was you doing? I was being Stan. I was doing what I was doing. Stereos, Walkmans, and hey, just all kind of stuff. Batteries, I was staring at Dickies, and I was stealing all kind of stuff. Hey, man, any ex-thieves in the house? That's why I can freely give you what I'm giving you now. I done stole so much. I've positioned myself now to be submissive to God, to start giving back to people. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, we've all taken something. We've all given ourselves over to something. Well, now it's time to start giving back. It's time to start working together and do what God has asked of us to do. So maybe you're here and you're not a believer. We want to really encourage you. Turn your life over to God. You've tried the rest, and I try the best. His name is Jesus. And let him be the one to lead you. All right, I now preach 25 minutes. If you need to respond to the Savior's invitation, please do so as together we stand and sing.